Turn, please, to Romans chapter 14, again taking a break for a few weeks from our study in the Gospel of John as we finish chapter 14, looking at a few issues of our day and things I feel like we should deal with as a body of believers. Of course, as I shared with some folks, Romans 14, if you take where it talks about meat and put COVID in there, fits. If you go back in church history, other issues were there. You go forward. One of the issues, believe it or not, was whether to even use musical instruments in the church. That some struggled with even having musical instruments and separated over others because of that. And others, why, how dare you do that? And when we go forward, there'll be other issues. And Romans 14 helps us to hopefully be able to agree to disagree in areas as believers where the Bible gives us that latitude and do so lovingly and kindly. And as we read about the weak here, the weak are the ones in this context that believe they could not eat certain meat from the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament law, even though Jesus in the Gospels, I think it's Mark 6, makes a statement and the Gospel writer in parentheses basically puts, Jesus cleansed all meats there. And then Peter, when he had the vision going to see Cornelius and was given all these animals on the sheet and was shocked that God would offer those. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he's pretty much flipping out. For a Jew, this was just like. And then he understood not only was Jesus and the Lord saying, you know, all meats are good. Food doesn't matter. But he was also saying, you go to a Gentile, which the Jews, they're unclean. You just stay away from them. So there's always going to be issues. If I took the time this morning, and I don't dare do that because not only would it take a while, but we might walk out of here mad at each other, asking your opinion on different things, you might be surprised at the variety of opinions you would have in different areas. And so maybe it's good we don't know all that. But at the same time, what Paul is helping us see here, and this is really important as we read this, oftentimes, and I was listening to a message by a missionary in Cambodia who was sharing how, you know, here's a country that the gospel's brand new to, the old Pol Pot killing fields, the communism, all that was going on, and then finally opened up to gospel missionaries going in, churches starting to be planted, people coming out of their animism, the worship of spirits and whatnot. But then as the church grew, they began realizing, well, we have differences, even in their culture with each other. And he had to sit down with them and say, here's some columns. Here's biblical truth, doctrine, what we can't give on. Jesus is God in the flesh. He died on the cross for sin, virgin birth, those kind of things. God is eternal, immortal, invisible, all wise, as our hymn says, right? Then there's things where they're important, but they're not necessarily biblical. And then there's just personal preferences. And they were ready to split up all over this. And as he sat down, they realized there was no differences over here in doctrine. It was all some important things, maybe, and personal preferences. And one of the leaders came up to him afterwards and says, I guess we figured it was easier to separate than work through problems. And you realize that that's why you see a lot of churches splitting and breaking up and pastors leaving and all kinds of things happening. Not because we're doctrinally off. We certainly need to separate over that. The Bible's clear. Unbeliever and believer have no fellowship in getting out the word of God. But we often let differences divide, and instead of taking the time to work it out, as Matthew 18 says, go to that brother or sister and deal with them directly, we let these things divide us, and eventually we either sit in a different place in church or don't show up and go somewhere altogether just because we disagree on things that the Bible really puts in the category of Christian liberty. So I'm going to read through the whole chapter of Romans 14. And I have 12 points here. So we may get through it this morning. We may have part B next Sunday. I will see how it goes. But I've entitled this, Don't Quarrel Over Opinions. Verse 1 says that. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person has only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of our brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Lord, help us this morning as we look at this passage together to understand the abiding principle that your kingdom and its progress is most important, not our personal preferences and wishes and desires and thoughts and ideas. And for all of us, Lord, we know that there are areas that we are very adamant in, we are very sure of, but yet we need to be able to understand the other person's position and be willing to accept that, and most importantly, accept them. We pray that you would direct in this time in the Word. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. This passage does not use the word conscience, but it is used in 1 Corinthians 10, as we read earlier. And Romans 2:15 talks about even the Gentiles either accusing or excusing one another or themselves through their conscience, having the law of God written on their hearts. And here we see in verses 2 and 22, the word believe and faith really is used in the idea of what we believe in our conscience, what our conscience tells us is right and wrong. And Romans 2:15 shows that our conscience is really works in black and white areas. Okay? Our conscience is going to say either this is okay, I can do it and feel fine about it, or this is wrong and I better stay away from it. And realize God gave us our conscience to be kind of like the warning light in your car. Okay, guys that really like, you know, fast cars like tachometers. But you know what? Most cars today don't have tachometers because most people don't pay attention to it. But you know, with a tachometer, of course, if you've driven enough, you can hear the sound of the engine and know when you probably should be shifting or your speed. But the problem is you don't want a red line, right? You get way up high and you might be kissing your engine goodbye. Or there's the oil pressure light, right? And if it gets too low, that means you're about to seize up your engine. And so manufacturers realized a lot of people didn't pay attention to their gauges. So they put what we call idiot lights in there. It's for us idiots that don't pay attention to our gauges to hear the ding and see the red light and realize, oh, I better do something about this. Our conscience is the red light. And it's saying, oftentimes, oh, don't do this, stop. You're going to get in trouble here. And like people sometimes do when they realize maybe several times that this light, actually it's a sensor function that's messed up. It's just the sensor. So what do? They tape over that. But the problem is, when it's actually right, then you don't notice. All right? And that's what we can do to our conscience. The Bible actually talks in 1 Timothy 4 about searing your conscience. And that is when I keep not listening to it, when I ignore it, when I shut it down, eventually it kind of quits functioning and I'm out there on my own and can get into big trouble. And so Paul is trying to help us here understand that the issue for them was dietary laws or meat before idols, or he talks about esteeming days here. In other words, remember the Jewish calendar had feast days. They had the Sabbath, right? That was the worship rest day of the Old Testament, New Testament, because Christ raised on the first day of the week. The church had already been in the Bible gathering on the first day of the week. So, you know, some of the Jews felt like they should still keep the feast days. Well, if you want to do that, that's fine. But don't get upset at people who aren't anymore. And so those were dividing issues then. Today, we can say COVID's one. Do you get the shot? Did you not get the shot? Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? And we could, you know, spend all day on all the values or non-values of either side of the issue. What I think, one of the things God is teaching us through this is we don't know as much as we think we know. I mean, listen to all the things we've heard over the last, what's it been now, year and a half of this thing. And the experts keep changing as this thing evolves and devolves, and now we have variants out there and this and that, and we can get all upset at each other, or we can say, you know what? You want to get the shot? Go for it. That's your decision. You don't want to get the shot? Go for it. That's your decision. You want to wear a mask? You want to wear two masks. You want to drive around by yourself with a mask on? We see people doing that. We laugh, but you know what? Think of it this way. If you're an unbeliever, and there's a disease spreading around that's killing people, you're going to be pretty scared. Because you don't know where you're going to go when you die. And so as believers, instead of stepping right in, and we should step back and say, oh man, maybe they need Jesus. You know, hopefully it changes our perspective on things. But here we dive into 12 points, and we'll see how it goes. Point number one, we already talked about, and we want to look at the commands in here first. Okay, these are commands. This is what Paul is saying, God's saying, we must do. What's the first one? First one, don't quarrel over opinions. Now, here's our problem, knowing what's an opinion and what is biblical fact and truth. And sometimes we get them mixed up. Remember the Pharisees. What did Jesus have to get after them for? Setting apart or setting away God's standards, God's laws, and replacing them with man's laws. And so we need to be very careful and understand, what is my opinion? It may be a very strong opinion, but it's still my opinion as opposed to what is biblical truth. And all of us in this room, if we went to school, got vaccines, by the way. You had to. MMR. And the different ones. And I remember my kids getting them. Even though we homeschooled them, we still got them for them. And some vaccines we know have eradicated things like polio. Polio was, those of you who lived long enough know, it was bad news in the 50s. Iron lung. People dying. People paralyzed for life. So step back for a minute, take a breath and say, okay, is this my opinion or is this biblical truth? And if it's my opinion, then the Bible says, do not quarrel over it. If we want to sit down and have a robust discussion, and you give your side, and I give my side, but ultimately, we can't say, well, God says, you have to have the shot. Or don't you dare take the shot. Can't find that in the book, sorry. Okay. We just need to get some perspective on this. And I think as believers, sometimes we slip into the Pharisaical attitude. We wouldn't want to admit it, that, well, if you don't agree with me on this, you should be cast out. So we need to understand what is opinion, what is Bible truth. Second command, don't despise or judge. Now in this category, the weak were the ones who felt like their diet had to be restricted. All of us probably think we're the strong ones in our opinion. I mean, that's human nature, right? You're the weak one. Get with the program. Come where I'm at. Okay? And he's saying, and the despising usually happens to the people who are on the weak side or whatever. Oh, I can't do this or that. And we've come to the conclusion that we can. And we're kind of rolling our eyes. Oh, really? Come on. Why don't you? And then the people who can't look at the people who are and judge. I was sharing in jail. I mean, back not terribly long ago, in a lot of Christian circles, if you went to the movie theater, you were just a bad person. Okay? You can take tons of issues. Certainly we need to be discerning. There's a lot of movies out there we should not watch. I will put no evil thing before my eye, the scripture says. That should be our principle. Are they cursing all over the place? Probably shouldn't be watching. Is there a lot of nudity or close to that? I shouldn't be watching, okay? We have biblical principles in this. But, you know, to set a standard, you can't go there, you can't. We need to make sure we're standing firm on the Word of God. And realize that there's always going to be people less stringent than you and more stringent than you. Okay, I'm going to wear a mask. Oh, he's wearing two. Come on, really? And then the person that's wearing it at all, the people that are wearing it. You can see where this can go. And then you turn around and you look at the people on this side and getting after them as well. Verses 3 and 4 make it clear. Don't despise, don't judge. That's the second command. Third command, not to put a stumbling block before them. Verses 13 and 21 use that term. What does that mean? It means something that's going to literally trip them up and cause them to sin. This is not talking about they're offended by it. Well, it offended me, you got the shot. It offends me, you won't get the shot. It means I do something knowing or expecting that I'm going to get this person to do it with me. And they can't conscience do it yet. Their conscience isn't there. That's why Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, if I have to skip meat the rest of my life to keep my brothers in Corinth from offending, when I show up to Corinth, I won't. That's why he in chapter 9 talks about being all things to all men. He's not talking about I have the freedom to live any way I please. He talks about being under law to Christ. What he means is when I'm with the Gentiles, I'm free to eat the pork. When I'm with Jews, I don't eat pork. And what he's reminding us is there's more important issues than my rights. Our problem is we're Western Americans and we know about our rights and we'll die for our rights. But Christ wants to come back to us and say, your rights are not as important as my kingdom. But we often get kind of confused in that. So not putting a stumbling block, not something that will cause somebody to violate their conscience. That's the stumbling block. Fourth command, verse 19, pursue peace. How do you have peace? And it's not just not warring. Peace is the Jewish term especially, and the New Testament term has the idea, it's all around well-being. It's not just I can wave at you on the street, but we actually get along. We may not be best buds, but we can talk civilly to one another. And we can recognize as Christians, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have God's word we agree on. And these are small issues compared to that. We all know how it goes even in families. You have family reunions. And you can let issues from the past make the family reunion a total miserable thing. Or you can learn to forgive one another and say, I can't wait to get together with all the cousins and aunts and uncles and see them. I haven't seen them for a year or whatever, right? Well, it's the same in the body of Christ, except we're coming together, Lord willing, every week. And it shouldn't just be, well, we always sit over here because those people are over there and we're not getting near them because we know where they stand on this. Really? That's how church splits start. And then here's all the group that agrees with that family and basically you have the Hatfields and McCoys in church. Not good. And how do we witness to a world that, you know, Christ unifies us and we're the body of Christ? And we can't get along with each other because of COVID or theater attendance or whether you observe Halloween or not or all the other things where we can be very divided on. Pursue peace. And then verse 20, don't destroy what? The work of God for the sake of food. I mean, you think about it. Work of God, food. Yeah, we need to eat, but what's more important? What's eternal? What really lasts? And we get in our heads, this is right, and this is the way it needs to be, and everybody needs to line up with me. And pretty soon, our church is known as the not shot church, or the shot church, or the wear the mask church, or the not wear the mask church, or the go to the movie theater church, or the not go. You see how far it can go. If people know us primarily by that, we've missed our mission, folks. We really have. The world, we expect it to be divided. It's no surprise. They don't have God. They're going to be divided. They're going to be fighting over everything. We're seeing our country torn apart by this. Why? Because we basically said we don't need God. And God says, okay, try it on your own. And look how it looks in the streets. Burning, looting, pillaging, shouting at each other over every issue imaginable. Calling each other idiots for the position we take or don't take. The Bible says don't destroy the work of God. And then the last command here is be convinced. This is an interesting one too. Verse 5 says what? Let everybody be convinced in their own mind. In other words, you make sure you're lining up as best you can with biblical principles in your thinking and your decision, and realize we all come short on this, don't we? You ever find yourself, you start reading something, oh, I didn't see that. Oops, I missed that one. Should have been doing that a long time ago, right? We keep learning from the Bible, and we keep finding out, oh, there's my conscience needs to keep being re-educated by the Word of God. But at the same time, the biblical principle is clear. Don't violate that conscience. We'll see that when we get to the end here in verse 22. So be convinced. But notice it's a personal thing. That's why if you look down at verse number 22, where it talks about having what? Faith. Keep it between yourself and God. Obviously, that's not talking about the faith of saving faith. We're supposed to share the gospel, right? This is talking about conscience faith. I believe this is right. I believe this is wrong. Have it before God. Be convinced in it. But at the same time, realize, you know, you may start talking to some people and realize, you know, I never thought of that side of the issue. I never thought about that point. As one pastor wisely put it, if we all saw equally all things, some of us are unnecessary. Why do corporations have boards? Now, I realize they pack each other and pat each other on the back and give each other raises. But the real purpose is to be to get a good general opinion on things. Our mission has a board. Our camp has a board. Why is that? And I've been in some of these meetings and was thinking one way, and most of us were, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, by the way, think about this. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden we 180 because we never thought about that, but somebody had a different perspective. That's why Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, there's safety. And understanding that my opinion, as strong as it may be, could be wrong. We'll all give account to ourselves of God, and so we need to keep that in the back of our minds as well. So be convinced. But it's a personal thing. How are we to go about this? Verses 6 through 8, what does he say basically over and over again there? The person who abstains is doing it. In other words, it all needs to be focused on my relationship to God. Can I eat this and praise God for it? Can I not eat it and praise God that I'm not eating it? Can I get the shot and praise God for it? Can I not get the shot and praise God for it and trust him? And that's the key thing here. A lot of people saying, well, if you get the shot, you don't trust God. How many of us, if we're really, 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 I mean really sick, nobody's volunteering to go to the doctor usually, right? But if you're really, really, really sick, what are you going to do? Call up the clinic, get an appointment, find out what's going on. This hurts. I've done everything I can. I've self-medicated. I've taken all the aspirin I can. I've chewed through, you know, a couple bottles of this stuff. I need help. We do that. But do we still trust God? Well, hopefully so. We're saying, you know what? I use the medical means available. God has given advance in science in that area, and we praise God for that. But ultimately, we know he heals. He's a great physician. So I go to the doctor praying that God will help him to see what the problem is. So you can't just say, well, if you get the shot, you're not trusting God. Or if you're not getting the shot, you are trusting God. You cannot get the shot and think, well, it's just my opinion. I know this is the best way to go, and rah, rah, rah. See how this works both sides of the aisle? It's basically God saying, it needs to be in your relationship to me. That's the key thing here. Are you doing this praising God you're able to do this in a clear conscience? And realize, give your brother or sister that benefit of the doubt too. And that's one of the biggest problems here is what? We tend to think negatively, especially about somebody that's different from us. Well, you do this because. Do you know? Have you asked them? Or are you just, because they're on the opposite side of the aisle on this issue, you're going to make them the boogeyman every way you can in your mind. That's how we operate oftentimes, if we're honest. Unto the Lord. In our relationship to and modeling of Christ, chapter 15, and we don't have the time to read it all, but if you read the first 8 verses, basically it tells us Christ did not please himself. He came to the earth, and he put himself under the most strict religious system that existed on the planet at the time, the Jewish system. And did so he could save all of us. God's work was most important to him, and he's our example. You think about that for a little while. Of all the people that could come down and do whatever he wanted, he's God. But he submitted to those rules, God's rules, not, remember, he had trouble with Pharisees because they made up rules that weren't God's, but he followed God's rules perfectly. He was perfect. But he submitted to a system. He submitted to man's rules to some extent as well. He submitted to being in a culture and getting along with those people. and he did it for us. So the how is in our relationship to and in modeling Christ to carry this out. Why are we to do this? Verse 4, we're all God's fellow servants. We're on the same level before God, folks. So when we start playing judge, what are we starting to do? Elevate ourselves. I'm not your judge. Now, do understand, the Bible's clear. If I see my brother or sister in sin, I'm to meekly go to them and help correct them. But it's understanding what? In the spirit of meekness, what? Lest I be tempted as well. The tables are going to be turned at some point. And so I'm not coming to you as the great spiritual authority, but as a brother or sister to encourage. But primarily, I am not to be judge. That's God's job. And as the Bible says, we stand and or fall before that judge, not one another. The second reason why is we are different. Hadn't you noticed that? Not only do we look different, but we do think different. Let me share with you, this white missionary from Cambodia made a point about when he went to that culture, being an American, property rights and all that was drilled into his head. You know, right? We have fences. Your dogs stay on your side. My dogs stay on my side. That's American. He gets to Cambodia. He plants a mango tree. And he says, mango's just fresh. There's nothing like them. You can go in the store and get them. And of course, like tomatoes and other things. What do they have to do? They have to ship them hard so they don't smash. And you get to the store and you find if you go to the farm or go to your vine, the tomato's nice and soft and red and you cut it up and it's juicy and wonderful on that sandwich or whatever you put it on. But you go and you get the store one and it's been gassed to look like it's ripe, but it's still hard as a rock. So, I got these mangoes, this is great. And it takes, you know, fruit trees, if you've been into it, it takes a few years to get fruit out of them. And so he's babied this thing for 3 or 4 years and he's got 3 mangoes. And some guy comes over, a native, to do some work around the place, and he notices the mangoes are gone. So he confronts him. Did you take the mangoes? Yeah, they were really good. What? But then he learns that's the culture. And by the way, if you read the Bible, it was the Bible culture too. Remember the disciples are going through the grain field, taking grain, and the Pharisees don't complain about their taking the grain. They complain about them doing it on the Sabbath and rubbing, and that's what they call harvesting. And if you go back to Deuteronomy, it was allowed in the law. You went through the neighbor's field or vineyard, you could take some to eat. You just couldn't harvest or put in the bag. And so the missionary had to come back and say, I'm the one with the problem here. I'm being stingy. For us as Americans, that's a shocking thing. But it just reminds us, not only are cultures different, and it's not always wrong, and it might be more right than us, but people in our own culture may be different from us. We have Southern and we have Northern and we have Western and Rocky Mountain and all kinds of mixes, right? And difference not bad. It's okay. We need to learn to resolve our problems and our differences. Or if it's not that important, learn to let things go. You read that in a lot in Proverbs. So just overlooking things. Okay, that's your thought on it? No biggie. Not messing up my life. You can think it all you want. And I'm going to think what I want here. And we're going to go on happily our separate ways, but caring for one another. Then verses 11 and 12, a third why is because God is the Lord and judge. Notice every knee is going to bow to him and every tongue is going to confess him to be God, Lord, judge, and we're all going to give account to him. And one of the things we're going to give account for is how did we treat one another when we did disagree? We're going to give account. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 for everything that we've done in the body, whether it's good or bad. Now, for the Christian, the sin is under the blood, but how we treat one another and how we've lived after we're saved is going to be something we give account for. And then verse 17, I think this is really the key one of them all. What does it say? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not food and drink. It's not what goes in. What does Jesus say? What defiles is not what comes in the body, but what comes out. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, evil thoughts come out of the heart. And so what does he tell us here? It's not a matter of eating and drinking, but with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. As we said before, what do we want to be known for? Anti-shot, pro-shot, anti-mask, pro-mask. And you can go down the list of multiple other things. Or as people who love God, love one another, and are trying to make disciples. Bringing people to Christ and training them to do what? Obey all that he has commanded. And guess what? This is part of what he's commanded. How do I teach it to others if I'm not doing it myself? the kingdom of God. If I'm a believer, that's why I'm here still. Be used of God to build that, not to destroy it or tear it down. And then verse 23, the last reason why is to avoid sin. This isn't a startling statement, but think about it for a minute. What the Bible is saying is, if I violate my conscience and do something that even is okay, it's still sin. Why? Because the act I'm doing is an act of rebellion. I think I'm doing wrong. And so in my heart, even though, you know, say here's this Jewish fellow, and he gets invited over to the Gentile's house in the church, and they're all having their bacon and having a great time. Hey, bacon and eggs, come on. And he looks around, and he sees everybody's eating, and he's like, oh, but is God going to smite me dead if I eat this? I mean, you know, it's unclean. It doesn't, you know, it parts the hoof, but it doesn't chew the cud or whatever. You go back to all those laws, and he's sweating, and he's breaking out. But he says, okay, I'll eat it. And then he goes home, and he pukes it out because it's driving him nuts. Guess what? You have been the stumbling block that has caused him to sin against his conscience. Because he's taken something God gave as a gift to protect him, and until he educates his conscience to read the New Testament fully and say, okay, yeah, I can eat pork, he shouldn't eat pork. And you shouldn't encourage him to eat pork. And we can do that with every other issue. If there's somebody that says, man, I really don't think I can take the shot. Well, I got it, I'm fine. Come on, do it. You may be pushing them to go over the edge and actually rebel against their conscience, or vice versa. And so Paul lays out really clearly for us, not just COVID, not just diet, not just whether I go to the movie theater or I watch this video or not, but a lot of areas, how are we as the body of Christ to respond to each other? And really he sums it up in an indirect way in verse 15. Notice what he says. You're no longer walking in love when you're splitting each other up over this thing. So what comes back as the overarching issue? Love. If I love God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I love my neighbor as myself, then I'm not going to make my opinion God. I'm going to make God God and treat fellow believers accordingly. And so as we close in prayer, I want us just to take a minute to examine our own hearts before God. First of all, to make sure we're a Christian. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, the only way we have a pure conscience, because think about it, all of us have a past, don't we? And we just assume people didn't know a lot about a lot of that past. So how does my conscience get cleansed of that? By the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9 tells me. It's Christ's blood shed on the cross that when I trust him as Savior, my conscience is cleansed from my past sin. So first of all, I need to make sure I have a pure conscience through Christ. Then as a Christian, I need to make sure I'm taking his commands here seriously. He's commanding us. Don't make your opinion a quarreling place, okay? That's a command. And it's not just my opinion on COVID or whatever. It's my opinion on a lot of things. The Bible doesn't say, yes, you can or no, you can't, okay? So we're going to have a moment of quiet prayer as you just before God say, Lord, show me some areas where maybe I've elevated my opinion above your word and help me to treat fellow believers right. And then we'll close with prayer. Lord, we thank you that your word gives us good guidance in this area. You don't need to list out every place where we might have debate, but the principles are here to help us to guide us through the minefield of our opinions. Lord, I pray if there's one here who has yet to trust Christ, they would understand that they can have a clear conscience, even as Paul the Apostle wrote, a persecutor of the church of God. Man who consented to Stephen's death, and yet he could stand before Roman authorities and say, I have a clear conscience because Jesus cleansed it. We pray that anyone here who is yet to do that today would call out in repentance and faith on you to save them. And then, Lord, each of us as believers, help us to obey the clear commands here. We're not always going to agree. We're not always going to get along exactly on everything, but to learn to love, to forgive, and most especially to not despise or to judge, but Lord, to work hard at working together to move your kingdom forward. How the world needs to see what true biblical harmony is. Harmony is not agreeing, the most beautiful choirs and orchestras harmonize. They don't all play the melody. And you've brought us together, Lord, different people, different ideas and opinions, but we agree on this book. We agree on Jesus and God. And Lord, may that show in our lives and in our relationships, we pray. In Christ's precious name, amen.